Hey, what's going on my qualifiers? Welcome to another episode of Unqualified News. This is your host, M. Mauricio. That is me. And this is episode number 41. I have a couple articles that are affecting me, I guess. Day-to-day type of situation, you know, with the shortages of materials and all that. First one is from KTLA. KTLA.com. And Gavin Newsom, your governor, just signed a new bill a couple days ago that's going to make it a lot harder for big giant companies like Amazon to push their employees' performance. I know that sounds like, what? That's good, right? What are you talking about, Mauricio? Are you some type of fucking authoritarian North Korean dictator? Just listen to the article. There's another article in here from BBC News. And I love to bring up BBC News and Al Jazeera, those type of foreign news entities, when they talk about California, Los Angeles, stuff here in the United States, because I like to see their perspective, okay? They're talking about all those cargo ships, those containers that are waiting in the ports in San Pedro, Oakland, and Long Beach. That's what they're talking about there. And then I also have an article here from CNN. CNN Politics, CNN.com. I try to avoid CNN. Look, I mean, I'll read it, you know what I mean? But, well, you just listen. Just listen to the episode and you see what I'm talking about here. You got to kind of figure out what their agenda is, you know? What are they trying to sell you? And usually CNN is trying to sell you Republicans bad, you know, and guns bad, and immigration bad, stuff like that, you know what I mean? Well, no, not really. Not really immigration bad, because they like to stir that pot, you know? CNN loves to stir that immigration pot. And they just like to stand back and just watch the fire. So it's, CNN is here. And last but not least, my newest addition to the Unqualified News podcast is sports. So we have OJ on sports. OJ Simpson, he's on Twitter and he is very knowledgeable on sports. So OJ Simpson used to be a very famous running back for USC. Then he went on to go to the NFL. I don't know if you guys know who he is or anything like that, but he's very knowledgeable when it comes to sports. So I'm going to have him talk about sports. His perspective on sports is very unique, very different. He kills every segment. All right, my qualifiers. Thanks for listening. Newsom signs law making California first state to set quota limits for retailers like Amazon. This one is from KTLA.com by the Associated Press. California on Wednesday became the first state to bar mega retailers from firing warehouse workers for missing quotas that interfere with bathroom and rest breaks under a new law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom that grew from Amazon's drive to speed goods to consumers more quickly. The measure also bars Amazon, the online retail giant, and similar companies from disciplining workers for following health and safety laws, and allows employees to sue to suspend unsafe quotas or reverse retaliation. The bill applies to all warehouse distribution centers, though proponents were driven by Amazon's dominance. "We cannot allow corporations to put profit over people," Newsom, a Democrat, said in a news release announcing he had signed the law. The law, AB 701, was authored by Democratic Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, a lawyer and former labor leader. She accused Amazon of disciplining warehouse workers at the direction of an algorithm that tracks employees' activities and can determine that anything not directly related to moving packages is off task. Amazon is pushing workers to risk their bodies for next day delivery. "While they can't so much as use the restroom without fearing retaliation," Gonzalez said when the legislature passed her bill. Amazon did not respond for requests for comment on her legislation or allegations. The law gives large warehouse employers 30 days to disclose quotas to employees. Workers who think their quotas lead to unsafe behavior can ask for 90 days worth of documentation on how their work speed meets or fails the quota. Any discipline within that 90 days is presumed to be retaliation. As in, any discipline within 90 days of an employee complaining to the company or a state agency about an unsafe quota. Gonzalez cited reports from several labor advocacy groups, including the Warehouse Worker Resource Center, Strategic Organizing Center, to assert that Amazon employees are far more likely to suffer serious injuries than those working in other warehouses. California's workplace regulators would have to consider investigating if a worksite or employer has an annual employee injury rate at least 1.5 times higher than the warehousing industry's average annual injury rate under her bill. Yesenia Barrera, a former warehouse employee who is now an organizer with the Warehouse Worker Resource Center, recalled the constant pressure to perform and carrying, bending, reaching, twisting, and packing items from 30 to 60 pounds for hours a day. But 27 business organizations led by the California Retailers Association objected that California is home to thousands of warehouse distribution centers that together provide quality jobs to hundreds of thousands of working class Californians. The groups, in a letter to lawmakers, cited U.S. Department of Labor data that wages in the transportation and warehousing sector have risen more than 17% in the last year. Amazon alone says it employs more than 150,000 Californians, including at dozens of fulfillment centers. The legislation is both burdensome and needlessly overbroad, the business group said, arguing that workers are protected by existing occupational safety standards. In a statement, California Retailers Association President Rachel Michelin said the measure will exacerbate our current supply chain issues, increase the cost of living for all Californians, and eliminate good-paying jobs. With California's port facing record backlogs of ships waiting off the coast and inflation spiking to the fastest pace in 13 years, AB 701 will make matters worse for everyone, creating more backordered goods and higher prices for everything from clothes, diapers, and food to auto parts, toys, and pet supplies, Michelin said. Warehouse workers in California are a disproportionate 54% Latino and 9.5% Black, according to the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, which co-sponsored the bill. It argued those groups also have fewer job options and were more likely to suffer during the coronavirus pandemic that increased consumers' reliance on online shopping and boosted retailers' profits. There you go, guys and gals. That's from KTLA.com, my qualifiers. That's local news to me. Gavin Newsom is signing bills, baby. So he signed this bill that he thinks is going to make him look like he cares about the workers. All right, that's just my opinion, okay? That's just my opinion. But look, the first thing I see when I see these type of bills, these type of laws going to affect is big companies like Amazon, like Target, like Walmart, these big stores just saying, why? Why even go to California? Why even choose California? So you think you're helping workers? You think you're trying to help out our workers here in California? But in reality, in true reality, what you're doing is you're driving companies away. I mean, I don't need to sit here and tell you how many companies have left California and gone somewhere else, like Texas, right? The company that comes to the top of my mind is Tesla. Just recently said, fuck you, California, I'm out. Elon Musk grabbed all his shit and went to Texas. So I appreciate what California lawmakers are trying to do here, but we need to put some really, really smart people, much smarter than me. We need to put some real smart people in there and really, really figure this one out, because I don't think that's the right idea. Record backlog of cargo ships at California ports. This one is from BBC.com, BBC News by Daniel Thomas. The ships are stuck outside the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, California, which handle 40% of all cargo containers entering the country. Before COVID, it was unusual for more than one to wait for a berth. The backlog is linked to a surging demand for imports as the U.S. economy has reopened. Retailers and manufacturers have rushed to place orders and restock their inventories, but the global shipping system is struggling to keep up. It's contributed to shortages of children's toys, timber, new clothes, and pet food, while also pushing up consumer prices. Gene Seroca, head of Port of LA, last week warned that a significant volume of cargo was headed our way through this year and into 2022. We continue to monitor a host of variables. Disruptions continue at every node in the supply chain, he said. Together, LA and Long Beach are the main seaborne gateway to the U.S., particularly for imports from China. And on Saturday, record 73 ships were stuck outside, almost twice as many at the same time as in August. Some cargo ships have been diverted because of the backlog, which is preventing thousands of containers from being unloaded. But nearby ports like Oakland do not have the capacity to deal with the volume of trade. At the Port of LA alone, the amount of cargo handled is up 30% this year so far, compared with the whole of 2020. The U.S. Toy Association, which represents 950 toy firms with a U.S. presence, has warned the crisis in California could affect many of its members going into the all-important holiday season. Its members sell 3 billion toys a year, 85% of which come from China. The larger retailers we work with have relationships with the shippers, and they can weather this storm fairly well, relatively speaking. Boss Ed Desmond said, "It's really the small companies that are facing the brunt of this impact. They really don't have the leverage or the size to have those annual contracts." The Californian ports have now agreed to expand the hours during which trucks can pick up and return containers to try to ease the backlog. They are also working with the White House Supply Chain Disruptions Task Force, which was set up in June to try to alleviate bottlenecks. Other ports such as Savannah in Georgia have also seen record shipping congestion, while the nation's second busiest entry point, New York, said it faced transit issues outside the port. Currently, congestion is related to cargo moving from the port, such as trucks and freight rail, due to the record high cargo volume. Spokeswoman Amanda Kwan told the BBC. Last month, port bosses across the U.S. told the Wall Street Journal they saw the bottlenecks lasting as long as summer 2022. By tonnage, about 70% of all U.S. international trade moves by water through America's ports. And there you go, my qualifiers. That's from BBC.com. BBC News, and you know how much I love to bring you BBC News or Al Jazeera, all these foreign, I guess, news outlets when they're talking about something local to me. I love seeing their point of view. This, the cargo ships being backlogged, stuck in the ports in San Pedro, Oakland. This right here affects me directly right now because, you know, I sell restaurant equipment. I deal with restaurants. Not so long ago, we got an email telling us that, hey, you know, mention this to the customers, which is, you know, we're not getting a lot of the chemicals, a lot of their cleaning agents or whatnot, because apparently you need a special type of truck driver to drive chemicals, okay? My qualifiers, my listeners, people out there, spread the word. I mean, this is not something that everybody just knows, you know? I just assume you drive a truck, you drive any fucking truck. But no, you need a special type of truck driver, licensed specially to move around chemicals. So these are the small little problems that are impacting these companies that us as the public, us as the regular old human beings that are just, hey, you know, where's my stuff? We don't see that, you know? So this is something that I've been telling customers, hey, look, don't expect me to have anything until February of 2022. Realistic. Like, being realistic right now. There's a lot of, if you want to order a fryer from me, that's 13 weeks out. You do the math. What's 13 weeks? I don't even know. Why many thousands of Haitians converged on the U.S.-Mexico border. This one is from CNN.com, my qualifiers. CNN.com Politics by Zachary B. Wolf. Thousands of Haitian migrants have appeared at the U.S.-Mexico border seeking across the Rio Grande and find refuge in the U.S. Conservative lawmakers are accusing the Biden administration of failing to head off another crisis at the border. And the distressing images of the massive migrant camp in Del Rio, Texas, backs up that idea. At the same time, human rights activists are condemning images of U.S. border agents mounted on horseback trying to head off migrants almost as they're herding cattle. How Haitian migrants, would-be refugees fleeing an island nation that is rocked by political instability and economic depression, converged at once at the U.S.-Mexico border in a specific spot in Texas is complicated. So is the question, what will happen to them next? What's happening now? More than 10,000 Haitians converged in recent days near Del Rio, Texas, and have sought to stream into the U.S., creating a massive migrant camp under the overhead bridge between Coahuila, Mexico, and Del Rio, while they wait for access. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has promised the U.S. will clear out the camp in the coming days. Traffic between the U.S. and Mexico has been disrupted, interrupting life in those towns. Mounted border agents were filmed using aggressive tactics. Mayorkas said on CNN that he was horrified by the images. The Texas governor ordered a miles-long drive-up border wall of parked vehicles. The Biden administration is using a Trump-era COVID policy to fly thousands of Haitians back to Port-au-Prince after days of detaining them in the U.S. and left them there, causing chaos at the airport there. DHS officials have desperately warned Haitians not to come to the border and said they would be turned away. CNN has witnessed some Haitians being driven across the border and allowed to enter the country. DHS has also been moving thousands of migrants from Del Rio to other processing sites. How big is the surge? The numbers are incredible. The number of migrants swelled from about 400 to a max of 14,000 in days. More could be on the way, according to CNN's Alvarez, who writes, there are up to 30,000 Haitians in Colombia who may be seeking to travel north, CNN has learned. The department is tracking between 40,000 to 60,000 Haitians in the hemisphere, though they are not necessarily seeking to come to the U.S., according to the Congressional Aid. Recently, Mexico has also stopped some buses of Haitians coming north, DHS said, according to the aid. Why are Haitians, specifically, coming to the U.S. border? Back in May, Mayorkas announced an 18-month temporary protective status for Haitians already residing in the U.S., which now applies to Haitians in the country as of July 29th. Mayorkas had cited security concerns, social unrest, an increase in human rights abuse, crippling poverty, and lack of basic resources, which are exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, and that spring announcement was before Haiti's president was assassinated and an earthquake struck over the summer. Many of those arriving at the U.S. border now had left Haiti long ago and were either living or staying in other Central and South American countries, from Guatemala to Chile. CNN talked to 26-year-old Jameson Tillis. He fled Haiti years ago after he was assaulted in his home and his aunt was shot at. In Chile since 2015, he wants to join his brother, uncle, and cousins who are in the U.S. Friends told his family the border was open in Del Rio, so Tillis, his wife, their 5-year-old daughter and their 3-year-old son started the 2-month journey there. I'm 26 years old and I don't have a profession. Tillis said, his voice breaking. I was doing very badly. I wanted a better life. What's the U.S. plan? Here's what Mayorkas told lawmakers after visiting the border Monday. The plan that we have is a multi-part plan. One is to address the root causes of irregular migration. Two is to ensure that there are safe, orderly, and humane pathways so people do not have to take the dangerous, perilous journey to make a claim of asylum that our laws that Congress passed are recognized. And third is to rebuild our asylum system here in the United States. What are the critics saying? Patrice Lawrence leads the group UndocuBlack, which advocates for undocumented black people in the U.S. She writes for CNN that the Biden administration should be distinguishing itself from the Trump administration and allowing for a more orderly asylum process rather than flying Haitians back to Haiti. The Biden administration could have made a strong statement in favor of due process and dignity by allowing for an orderly asylum process. Instead, it has opted for mass expulsions of vulnerable people. On the other side of the spectrum, the Texas Republican governor, Greg Abbott, and his wall of police cars. When you have an administration that is not enforcing the law in this country, when you have an administration that has abandoned any pretense of securing the border and securing our sovereignty, you see the onrush of people like what you saw walking across this dam right behind me, Abbott said at a news conference in Valverde County. Alrighty, my qualifiers, that is CNN.com, and whoa, man, like, I don't do a lot of CNN articles, and I'll be honest with you, that was a tough read. There was a lot of missing words, a lot of, CNN, just send me your articles first, I'll proofread them, you know, because, man, I'm sweating over here. That was a tough read, but look, I'm gonna talk about what's going on in Haiti again. This is not gonna be the last time I bring up what's going on in Haiti. This is gonna be a big deal. I brought it up in a couple episodes previous when the Haitian president was straight up assassinated. You know what I mean? He was assassinated in his bed. Don't forget. His wife waking up to him and his wife basically waking up to guns to their faces, and he didn't even get to say a word. Just straight shot dead. So who really knows what's going on over there in Haiti? But I didn't see this one coming. I didn't see a bunch of Haitians coming up, you know, and trying to get into the U.S. But then again, you know, I mean, where else would you go when your country is going to shit? You know, when your country is a third world country, I mean, the best place to go is the U.S. So understandably so, I understand why our borders are always all backed up, right? If it's not the Mexicans or the Arabs or the Chinese, it's the Haitians, right? I mean, everybody loves America. I understand that. And, you know, I want to comment real quick on that line, that mile-long line of cars at the border, right? What do we see, you know, us as immigrants? I'm a son of an immigrant parent. So what do I see? I see, oh, people don't want us to come in, right? A part of me sees that. But another part of me does see, you know, maybe the people that are sitting inside those cars in that line trying to avoid people to come into their country, maybe they've been here for 3-4 generations. So you have to understand their mindset is a little different. Another thing too to keep in mind, when I think about the border, the south border, the first thing that comes to mind is the Comanches, the Comanche Indians. When we started America, these motherfuckers were fucking us up. Mexico gave us Texas and Arizona and California because they were getting fucking slaughtered by the Comanche Indians. Okay, so it wasn't just like Santana, the guy that sold those states to us. You know, of course he made money, his family made money, but it wasn't just for that. He in the back of his mind said, hey, good luck, these Comanches are fucking crazy, they're gonna fuck you up. So that's what I think about when I think about the southern border, my qualifiers. All right, my qualifiers, let's catch up to OJ with sports.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, I off like a herd of snails in my fantasy league this year. I lost again. Mainly because I think I was expecting a lot more out of Dak Prescott. Who knew that the Dallas' defense would be this formidable and hold down Herbert and the Chargers? And I was hoping that Dak would be throwing 40 or 50 passes. Of course, he didn't. He scored less than 10 points, and that started my day off with a fly in my old mill. Ezekiel Elliott did better, even though I realize now he's going to share that running back position with Pollard. I was hoping he would be the bell cow back. All running backs want the ball. The more you give them the ball, the better they are. Most of them are better in the second half. The guy I played against had Derrick Henry. He called me at halftime complaining that they were holding Derrick down. I said, no, that coach believes in running, and Derrick could get better as the game goes on. And he took off in the second half. I'm hoping the Giants realize that after two games and 10 days off, that Saquon Barkley is ready to go, and he's the guy that must carry the load if they're going to win football games. So, New York Jets, look, during the draft, I said they don't need a quarterback. I mean, this Gase guy kind of screwed up their offense. Sam Darnold, it's good. Just put some players around him. Use that second pick to get choices, draft choices, or maybe other players. This kid can get the job done, and I think he's proven it now in Tennessee after two games. They now know they had the quarterback that they needed. They didn't need to draft another quarterback at number two. Zach Wilson, I feel a little bad for him. He may be taking a beating, hopefully not too much emotionally, because that kid is going to be a star. He's got skills. In any event, hey, good luck to you next week. I plan to be back. Hey, guys, get your shots, wear your mask. Take care. God bless.
All righty, OJ, thanks for sports. And OJ, hey, you know what? Actually, I went to the Cowboys game last week. That definitely started my week off with a fly in my oatmeal. Thanks for listening to my qualifiers. Usually I take a second to thank you guys, and yeah, I am taking a second. Thank you. But there was a qualifier that reached out to me based on our last episode, and I just want to bring this up. I asked for permission, and he said it was okay. He or she said. You know what I mean? Who knows who it is? Here it is. Just listen to the latest episode, and the idea that all you have to do is respect cops and everything will be fine doesn't work in every situation, bro. Especially if you're a young black man in America. I've been integrated in cars before I knew how to drive. I've been unlawfully searched 3 times in my life, and once at 15 because some old lady got robbed and we fit the description. I've been called a drug dealer and a thug just for walking down the street. I will tell my son to comply out of fear because we don't get the same luxuries as white people, and I need him to make it home. I'm gonna teach him to know his rights. It's a shitty profession, but it's a job, and like every job, it's a choice. And then he said, love you, bro. Good shit. Keep it up. Look, I appreciate you reaching out to me, first of all, my qualifier. I told you, thank you. I appreciate it. I asked you, hey, can I use it? Look, this perspective right here is just, yes, you know what I mean? Like, it's a tough subject. It's a tough subject that you know, this subject right here needs a whole episode on its own. I need to touch this completely, you know. I don't want to do it no justice by just giving it a 2-3 minute, like, quick little talk, you know what I mean? But yes, I agree. I 100% agree. I agree that police officers, people, humans, everybody judges people based on how they look, right? We all have to agree with that. So, yeah, in the past, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure you were profiled. I'm pretty sure based on the way you looked and based on the way a lot of the criminals might have looked around you at that time, these cops used all that information to profile you, right? Just the same way as, you know, I'm brown, right? That's pretty close to black. you know, I don't mean to be funny or anything, but really, like, you know, when it's dark, you really can't tell sometimes. You have a hood, you have some dark clothes on, you can't tell. So a lot of the times when I've been out and about with friends, and I thought maybe I was treated a different way because they thought I was of a different color, you know? I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, you know? Man, my qualifiers, put a pin on this one. I'm going to reach out, and I hope to have somebody, hope to have this qualifier actually on our podcast pretty soon. And we're going to talk about this. There's so much to unravel here. So much to unravel here. I appreciate you even sending me the message. Thank you. Thank you for that. I hope I did it some justice, you know. I mean, like I said, this has to be a whole episode. You know what I mean? Because there's so much information. There's so much to go back and forth on here. But above all, I really do appreciate you reaching out, okay? I appreciate you reaching out. And my qualifiers, if you're listening in, there's anything, like I've said in the previous episodes, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't sit here, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not spitting gospel, you know? Like, there's a lot of articles that I read through for the first time, you know? So the thoughts you hear are me kind of like battling myself to understand it myself, you know. But the good thing about it is that you know that from me. I don't claim to know everything, you know. I'm telling you I don't know everything. I'm telling you I'm learning. I appreciate you guys learning with me, and thank you again for listening in to yet another episode of Unqualified Muse. Love you guys so much, and peace.